Let us now turn in God's Word to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, we will begin reading in verse 11, and we'll read through verse 19, and that will be our text for this evening. Beginning then in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11, hear the word of our God. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us now pray. Our God, we ask that you would speak to us, your people, through this portion of your word. We know that your word is powerful, dividing even between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, into the recesses of our hearts. And we ask that you would direct our hearts to our great high priest, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, as I get older, sometimes the illustrations that I use in sermons will fall off because people will think, what is this old man talking about? I think this probably will work. There was in 1975, which actually was the year I was born, a movie called Jaws that was made. And in this movie, the police chief, Martin Brody, is on a boat and they're out on the ocean and they're looking for this shark that is causing all of this havoc. And he's throwing this chum into the water, trying to attract the shark. And all of a sudden, the shark comes, frightens him. And he steps back slowly. And then he utters this famous line that is, I think, rated 35 out of whatever most well-known or famous lines in movies. And the line he says is to the captain of the boat, he says, "You're gonna need a bigger boat. You're going to need a bigger boat." This shark, this great white shark, is some, I don't know, 20, 25 feet in length. You're going to need a bigger boat because guess what? The boat that you have is not going to handle, the size of this shark. Of course, I don't think the captain ever does get a bigger boat and learns the hard way that it was not going to handle this shark. But Why am I bringing this up? Well, I think that as we look at this text this evening, we might put it this way. What the author is saying to those he's writing and to us is, you are going to need a better priest. You are going to need a better priest. Because the priests of the Old Testament, the Levitical line, the order of Aaron, are not going to cut it. Your sins are too big. They're not going to be able to take care of it. And really, the line of argumentation here is going down through these things, trying to show those to whom he's writing that there is in Jesus Christ a more perfect and a perfect priesthood that is not, like this priesthood, really ineffectual in accomplishing what we really need, salvation from our sins. Now, this was a big claim that the author is making here. Because remember, the Levitical priesthood, coming from the tribe of Levi and through Aaron, was central to Jewish worship. In fact, it's encoded in the law. The author will say here, well, if there's a change to the priesthood, so close is the priesthood to the law that was given on Mount Sinai. If there's a change to the priesthood, there is going to be a change to the law. Now, that's a big statement. Because whose law is it? God's law. So he's saying there's going to be a change to the law, and we might ask the question, can God's law change? Is that even possible? Well, yes, only if God changes it. And God does do so. God did that. In fact, the author here will use Psalm 110, verse 4, to make his point. Drawing out of that Psalm of David, in which David, speaking of the coming Messiah, says, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." There is a priest coming, the Messiah, who is not of the order of Aaron, but is of the order of Melchizedek. We've covered that as we looked at it last week about who Melchizedek was, how great Melchizedek was compared to Abraham and compared to all of the Old Testament priests. But Jesus is far greater than Melchizedek. And having a priest really does matter. You need a priest. In fact, every interaction with God requires a priest. Period. There has to be a priest. You cannot be saved. You cannot draw near to God. You cannot approach God without a priest. But the only question remains is, who is that priest in whom you're trusting? Who is the priest in whom you are trusting? And can that priest really do what you need them to do? Can they pay your debt and bring you into the presence of God? And this is something that the Old Testament Levitical priests of the order of Aaron could not do perfectly. That is why Jesus had to come. We need a better priest. And basically the argument here is simply this. If the Levitical priesthood was the end-all be-all of priesthood, then God, speaking in Psalm 110 verse 4, to teach us that the Messiah, the Christ, was coming of a different order, was wrong to do so because it was unnecessary. No other priest was needed, but we know that God always does things that are perfect and good and true. And he did say that. Now last time, as we were in the first part of chapter 7, we saw that the Levitical priesthood of the order of Aaron was an inferior priesthood because it came from an inferior genealogy. But now, tonight, I want you to see that the priesthood was an imperfect or an ineffective priesthood because it was unable to make men perfect in the sight of God. And next time, as we look at verses 20 through 28, we'll see Jesus, the perfect high priest. That's where this is all going. In fact, we're going to head right into, after this chapter, chapter 8. And chapter 8 really gives the main idea of the whole letter of Hebrews. This is the main point of the things that we are saying. We have such a high priest who actually does what we need him to do so that we can draw near to God. But what I want you to think about this evening is that Jesus must be our high priest because the priesthood under Aaron was ineffective. We'll see four ways in which it was ineffective. The priesthood under Aaron was ineffective because that was never its intended purpose. The intended purpose of the Old Testament priesthood was never to accomplish what God ultimately wanted to accomplish. In fact, we might say it was always intended to be temporary. That's why we read here in verse 18 that there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. And that's speaking of the law that is connected to the priesthood. As we read in verse 11, the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law. So there's a connection here that the author is making between the Levitical priesthood and the law. That is the ceremonial law. That is the law that was connected to all of the worship practices in the Old Testament. How they approached God. How the priests could only go in to the temple and to the Holy of Holies. And then the high priest once a year going in and offering the blood of bulls and goats for himself and the people. But the Levitical priesthood then was never intended to be the final answer. It was always intended to be temporary. It was intended to point us beyond itself to Jesus Christ. And the point that the author really is making here is that Jesus Christ has come. He has come. It is evident, he says in verse 14, that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has come now. And because he has come, now the Old Testament Levitical priesthood has been done away with. Again, verse 18, there is an annulling, a canceling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. It could not do what it needed to do. And what is that? That brings me to the second reason that it was ineffective. What couldn't it do? How was it weak and unprofitable? Well, it could not make men perfect in the sight of God. Couldn't do it. In fact, we read that. We read that in verse 11. What does it say? Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, and clearly it's saying it's not. If it were, but it's not. And then again, to back that up in verse 19, the law made nothing perfect. The law made nothing perfect. Now, the Levitical priesthood required continual sacrifices, didn't it? That right there should tell us something. The Levitical priesthood required continual sacrifices because they didn't accomplish what was required. The author of Hebrews is going to get into that in far more depth as we go on. It could not make men perfect, but what it could not do, Jesus of another order did. He offered himself once for all as a sacrifice and accomplished salvation. Peter brings this out, 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. And so really that's what the author is saying here, that perfection was never available. This perfection that we need, that is being righteous in the sight of God, being able to enter into his presence, having what we'll come to later, a better hope through which we draw near to God, was never going to be ultimately accomplished through the Levitical priesthood. Another needed to come of a different order. And that one is Jesus Christ, which, again, he proves. In fact, his whole argument depends on this one verse, Psalm 110, verse 4. He proves it because God says, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So the priesthood under Aaron was ineffective because it was never intended to be the ultimate and end-all be-all of effectiveness. It was ineffective because it could not, through the blood of bulls and goats, make men perfect. But third, it was ineffective because it had no life-giving power. Think about it. What does he say here? Verse 16. The one coming, Jesus Christ, in the likeness of Melchizedek and according to the order of Melchizedek, has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment. Now, what does that mean? The law of a fleshly commandment or a carnal commandment? Well, it simply means that the law that was given and that was tied to the priesthood, all of these laws, all of these sacrificial laws and ceremonial laws, it was an external act. Yes, it pointed to something true. It's not to say that the people in the Old Testament weren't saved. But it wasn't what ultimately saved them. It pointed beyond itself. We might put it this way. Fleshly commandments are those things that are only external. They point to a reality, but they are not the reality. And then we read in verse 18, that the law, which was annulled because of its weakness and unprofitableness. It was weak and unprofitable. Why was it weak and unprofitable? Well, first of all, the priests themselves were weak, weren't they? They were sinful men who had to atone for their own sins, and they could not continue in the office. They died. That's the contrast here between those of the Levitical priesthood of the order of Aaron and of Jesus Christ of the order of Melchizedek, our high priest forever. But not only that, the sacrifices were weak and unprofitable. Animals, the blood of bulls and goats, cannot ever pay for the sins of humanity. The priests were weak. The sacrifices were weak. But Paul picks this theme up in Romans 8, beginning in verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We are now justified by faith apart from the works of the law and no longer under law but under grace. So the law and the Levitical priesthood were weak and unprofitable. They could not make us perfect and they had no life-giving power. But contrast that with the one who was coming. Look with me at verse 16. In contrast to the law of a fleshly commandment that was weak and unprofitable, we have Jesus Christ in the likeness of Melchizedek who comes according to the power of an endless life. What a great statement, the power of an endless life. Now, I want you to note one thing. There's a distinction here of his origin. In verse 14, our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. In other words, in the law, Moses never said anywhere that a priest should come from the tribe of Judah. But we do know that Jesus came from Judah. Matthew and Luke's genealogy bring this out. In fact, in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, we read, Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Now, Jesus in the Gospels is repeatedly addressed as son of David. But one commentator, or actually more than one, brought this out, and I thought it was such an interesting point, I wanted to share it with you. Notice the language here. It is evident in verse 14 that our Lord arose from Judah, not descended from Judah. And the commentator brought up this point. He said that this speaks of who he is as the Messiah. So many passages speak of him arising. And one of them that I'll share with you, Malachi 4:2. To you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. Rise up with healings in his wings. So he is the one, Jesus, who has arisen from Judah, a tribe that Moses never spoke of, but he is the one, unlike all of those Old Testament priests, who is according to the power of an endless life. In other words, by his resurrection, after his death and burial, by his resurrection and now his ascension into heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, he is a perpetual priest who ever lives to make intercession for us as people. He never will die. Isn't that a glorious reality? He will never die, and therefore we will never be without a priest. Paul puts it this way in Romans 6:9. Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Christ is our priest. He is the one through whom we approach God. Now, it's interesting because in around the maybe the 3rd century, in the history of the church, AD 300 or so, the church started to bring in these ideas of a priesthood modeled after maybe more of a Levitical priesthood. And we see that coming to fruition today in the Roman Catholic Church, don't we? But let me tell you this. You better not seek to approach God through any other priest but Jesus Christ. Because there is no hope of approaching God through any priest but Jesus Christ. That's why, you know, sometimes in the Reformed camp we get somewhat of a bad rap. Why are you always hating on those people? After all, don't they confess the same Apostles' Creed that you confess? Yes, but they don't approach God through the right priest. And therefore, they will not have any hope of drawing near to Him. And that's a serious thing, isn't it? That's why we must be serious about this. And that brings us really to this last reason that the priesthood was ineffective. It brought an inferior hope. In fact, later on in Hebrews, the author will talk about all those who died not having seen Christ. Now, they did have a hope. But we who now live in this time, after the one who is a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek have come, we have what the author here calls in verse 19, the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Now, there was hope in the Old Testament, but the hope was always that the perfect priest would come, the perfect sacrifice would come, the Messiah would come, and we have a better hope, don't we? In fact, think about it like this. John the Baptist came, and John the Baptist said what? I must decrease, he must increase. John the Baptist understood, as that last of the Old Testament prophets, that a new prophet was on the scene. Well, we might say that the Levitical priesthood ought to say the same thing. We must decrease because he must increase. A new priest is on the scene, and he is the one who is the true and perfect high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is through only that one priest, Jesus Christ, that we can, as the author says here, draw near to God. It's fascinating. You and I can draw near to God right now through Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it was a little different. The priest could go in. And then only once a year could the high priest go into the Holy of Holies. But guess what? We can go into the Holy of Holies, into God's presence anytime through Jesus Christ. With that privilege, why would you want to go back to anything else? Why would you want to go back to an inferior priesthood when Jesus Christ, the great high priest, is here and enables us to draw near to God? Again, from Romans, Paul understood that. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's the better hope that is referenced here. And as we look at verses 20 through 28, Lord willing, next time, we'll see even more what that hope means, who Jesus is as our great high priest, what he does for us. And that ought to increase our faith and our hope as we think of him. But the point here that the author of Hebrews is making, particularly in verses 11 through 19, is this. If the Levitical or Aaronic priesthood had been effective, it would have continued. And God would not have needed to send another priest, one according to the order of Melchizedek. But we know from Psalm 110:4, which, what does that say? You are a priest forever according, not to the order of Aaron, but according to the order of Melchizedek. God did indeed send another priest. And so the argument really goes here that since God sent another priest according to the order of Melchizedek, whose name is Jesus Christ, who did not come of the tribe of Levi but arose from the tribe of Judah, the Levitical priesthood was not designed to continue, nor would it have helped us if it continued, because it could not give us what we need. You know, thinking back to that illustration at the beginning, what does he say? You need a bigger boat because it's a bigger shark. Well, I would submit to you, we need a better priest because our sins are just that big. The only way that our sins are going to be atoned for, the only way that we are going to approach God is through Jesus Christ. So make no mistake about it, your sins are great. So great that there is no hope of drawing near to God without a priest. And I will tell you this, there is no hope of drawing near to God with full assurance, which the author of Hebrews calls us to, unless you come through one priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our great high priest. And in religion, a priest is necessary. But the question becomes, who is your high priest? That really might have been the challenge that the author of Hebrews would bring to these individuals. Who are you going to pick? Who is your high priest? Because if you go back to the Levitical line of the priesthood, the order of Aaron, if your priest is any other priest than Jesus Christ, you will have no hope of drawing near to God and you will not be saved. And that's a pretty serious thing, isn't it? But here's the encouragement that I want you to leave you with if you are trusting in Christ. Yes, it is true that if your priest is anyone other than Jesus Christ, you will not be saved. But let me tell you this. If your priest is Jesus Christ, then it is in no way possible that you will ever be lost. That is the trust that we have in Him. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we thank You that You have sent not a priest of the order of Aaron, of the Levitical line, but that You have sent Jesus Christ, Your own Son, a priest of the order of Melchizedek, one who has truly accomplished what You set forth to accomplish for Your people, our full and free salvation. We draw near to You tonight only through Him. We recognize that every other path to God is false, for He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. May You work in our hearts so that we might, by Your Spirit, adore this great high priest. Sing His praises. Worship Him, for He is worthy of our worship. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.